We're back into our teaching again on mountain-moving faith. And just a reminder to us that on this instruction and teaching on mountain-moving faith, we're not talking about a special kind of faith, something that's different. We're talking about what Jesus said that faith is. He said that you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say would come to pass. You would have whatever you said. So that's the foundation of what we're looking at, is because Jesus, we know from Jesus, faith is something that's in your heart, and those things, whatever's in your heart, spoken with your mouth. So he said that, told the disciples, he didn't make any big deal about it, like it was some kind of strange or odd thing. When they asked him about the tree dying, he said, if you'd say to this mountain, you'd be thou removed. It wasn't some kind of like, he said, whoa, now if you get real spiritual and you get really, and you know, if you pray 8 hours a day for 14 years, then maybe you could come to this. Or, you know, you just go in the mountain somewhere and you just read, study, and pray for another 10 years, then you can do this. And really, sometimes the churches will give that impression that you have to do some kind of great feats. Now, we know you have to read and you have to study the Word, you got to be diligent about things, but we were never told that to have faith you had to go through some kind of great semantics to make this thing work. And I think that's where a lot of people lose it in the areas of faith, because what they don't realize is what happens to them. They're sort of taught you have to go through these semantics. And so they look at arriving at faith as really by works. If I just do enough things, then I can come to that thing. And that's not how it works. Faith comes by hearing. You never have to work at trying to get faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word. Just that simple. The Word of God will bring faith to you. So it comes to you. Now it comes to you. What are you going to... That's about what you do with it from that point. You know, you can develop it or either... You know, I've always said this to people. When it comes down to believing, some people say it's hard to believe. I really don't know what they're talking about. Believing's a choice. But I either determine I'm going to believe it or I don't believe it. Well, they say, well, it's hard to believe. No, it's either you're in unbelief or you're not. So you make a choice whether you want to believe something. Now, almost every person I've ever heard say such a thing as that, when they sit down and watch the news, they never think that way. They'd believe anything that guy said on the TV. Oh, well, they said it. Well, we heard them say it. They showed us a video. Well, I believe it. You know, it's funny because it comes down to the fact that you arise at the fact there's something that I've, you know, came to after it didn't take me a lot of years to do it. And I don't know if it even took me a year, but I settled the fact in myself as a baby Christian that this book's true. Whether I understand it or it seems to work for me or not, if it don't work, it's my problem. It's not the book. The book's right. And so, but to me, that's really settled some things in me when I just said this book is true, and I'm receiving this. This is the Word of God. This is God's Word. And so, what God said is true, and that's it. And when the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar," well, it just comes down to either this is true, and if Ed thinks any difference, then Ed's the liar. That's it on the subject. There's no more thing else to be said on it. But it helped me so much to settle that fact. I really truly believe that many believers have never settled those simple facts within themselves that this is the truth. They'll say, "Oh yeah, the Bible's true." They generally believe that. That's not a heart belief. I came to the fact that this book's true and it'll work. You know, anything else, if I find one person at work for it, it's like, then I'm going to have to get that to work. You know, I'm just that type of person. I want that to work for me. I want that to be working in my life. And so you get to that point and just, you know, simply decide with yourself that the Bible's true. And if I don't have it working, well, we're just going to keep working at this thing till I get this thing working like I want it to and have this thing going like I'd like to have it work. And if you stay with it, if you just keep receiving it as true, when faith comes to you, don't put the brakes on it. Let your mind put brakes on the things, because that's what happens many times. Because, you know, lots of times things in the Bible sound surely don't seem practical. They don't seem like, but you have a choice when it comes. Hold on. You can receive it as that's true, or you can sit and try to understand it in your mind and figure it all out. Well, there's a lot of things I can't figure out. I still have not figured out. How could God take the sin of Jesus, of us, and put it on Jesus? How do you do that? How did that happen? How did he make him a sinner with our sin? How did he do that? Well, I don't know how it was done, but I know the after effect is really good. So I'm just going to take it. And I'm not going to spend 2 seconds to study to try to figure out how it happened. To me, that'd be a waste of time. I believe it. It worked. You know, I don't. You know, I go out to my car, the engine starts, and I drive off. I don't sit there and try to figure out how all the electronics does and this, that, and the traction control and that thing. How does that traction control really work? How does it know when this is happening and that's happening? How, you know, it reads my, how I brake in a car, so it actually sets itself up so it knows how to stabilize the car when you're braking different than somebody else would in the car would be driving and braking. Isn't that weird? I mean, I don't study that 2 seconds, but you know what? I just drive the car. And you have to be like that a lot of ways about faith. That's where the simplicity of childlike faith comes from. See, I still think that we have too much education in America. We put too much to mind. And then we have a hard time just accepting things that are good. Because we take what's good and we destroy it by trying to figure it all out. You know, enjoy it. You know, and so enjoy faith. Faith comes to you. Just take it. Say, praise God. The word of God comes to truth. Your mind's going, well, what about this? And just say, you know, shut up, brain. You know, it don't matter. You know, you have to realize it. It does. It's the truth, and accept the simplicity of it. And we found, you know, and it's one of the things it's looking at, because we were looking at, you know, statements in the Bible that Jesus told his disciples, he had, you of little faith, told them a number of times and don't seem to be caught on to it at all. He told them about having little faith and they would go and have little faith again. They would just go do it, it seemed. And it's one thing as it was, is they were trapped over in the area of seeing. They were trapped over in the area of the senses. They let what they saw dominate them, and they let what they felt or whatever is around them going on dominate them. And you know, as they looked at Jesus and doing things, we talk about, you know, when Peter got out of the boat and walked, and it says then he started, then the wave started kicking up and the wind was blowing, and then it's like, oh, well, and he started sinking. And Jesus said to him, why'd you do that, man? You have little faith. Why'd you do that? Why'd you get into unbelief on this thing? And he said, oh, you have little faith. Now, you know, today people would get all upset. That's one thing, is most people would not like Jesus today. Most people wouldn't like him because he's not like most preachers. He'd scold people for things. He'd tell people. You know, there's one thing about it. You're never going to grow in faith if somebody can't tell you when you're out of line of faith. You send your child to a school and they would never tell your child they gave a wrong answer. Find out what your kid's going to end up to be like, educated-wise. You know, and see, we have today, the church world has made this nice little pansy Christianity that nobody can be told anything. And so people can't grow up faith-wise. People can't grow. And see, if we go over, just like old little faith, I'm glad those things are written in the Bible, because sometimes I found out when I was going along, I was, oh, ye of little faith. But if that hadn't been written there, I wouldn't have known it. You know, Jesus just as much said it to me today as he said it to them back then. When I read it, and I said, you know what, I'm acting on the little faith. I'm acting on what I was watching and seeing. In fact, not this past March, it was the March before, and I had told before it happened, I was down, I had left to go down to Randy Greer down in Gatlinburg, the meetings, and I went down and I had this thing, and I'd go to bed at night and I'd just start coughing at night, you know, and during the day I was pretty fine, at night, but I'd cough and I'd cough and cough, and it would just go on and on and on, and I wouldn't sleep good and everything, and I'm up, I'm fine, I lay down, I cough like crazy and going on. So, you know, I'm this big bit of faith in. So, you know, just confessing the word and going on and going on. And I went down there, and this thing didn't change. And finally, one night, I just coughed and coughed, coughed. I got the next morning, I said, I just knew inside of me, I'm missing this thing somewhere. I'm missing it somewhere on this thing, because I've never had anything like this go on like this. I've never had that. And I just said, oh, Lord, what's going on? And just as clear, the Lord said to me, he said, you're just paying all attention to what's going on or what's going on with you. And he said, instead of what the word said. I'm going to assume he said it. I thought, he's exactly right. That's exactly right. I was focused on the symptoms and stuff that was going on. I knew what the word says, but I wasn't acting like it was real or was true. He said, you know a whole lot better than that. He said, you know better than doing what you've been doing. He didn't say, oh, you cute little thing. Oh, Ed, I love you. And you just, no. He said, you know better than what you're doing. And I said, yes, sir. I said, you're exactly right. I said, I do know better. I shouldn't be doing this at all. I said, how many times have I done this and put this kind of stuff under an old time? And I said, here I am. See, you can get around there. Well, what if he had just said, oh, Ed, forget it. I'll tell you, Ed, I'm just going to go ahead, be well. And That's what people expect out of him. They think God's like that. He's not. He expects things out of us. He wants us to grow up because he can't, you know, God don't want you running around crutches all your life. And most people think that's, that the love of God means you can just run around on crutches. He'll still take care of it all for you. He doesn't. He wants us to grow up. It's just like me. He scolded me, and I needed to be scolded. I knew better than what I was doing. It had been another thing if I was a baby Christian just learning this thing. But I wasn't. I've been doing this thing, and I knew better. I had had a lot better teaching, and I had taught a lot better myself. And so he scolded me about it. I said, yes, sir. I said, you're right. And then I asked him, I said, what do you want me to do? And, you know, he taught me a good lesson. He said, I want you to go to a doctor. He taught me a good lesson. He didn't say, well, I'll just get back over and I'll heal you. He said, I want you to go to a doctor. I said, go to a doctor. I said, I don't know no doctor here. I said, go to a doctor. And then he told me, he said, get down to the front desk and ask them. He said, ask them where a clinic is in the area. I would have never even thought of that. Yes. So he's talking to me real clear, but he ain't going to deal with me about my healing. And then, so I went and found out there was a clinic in the area that you could go to that goes, just go to a clinic. I said, okay, I'll do that. And then he said to me, he said, you go to that clinic. And he said, just go obey what the doctor says to do. And he said, he told me, I'll give you a quick recovery. And he said, I'll bless you. Just go. So I said, okay, I'll do it. Well, see, it was one thing. I got into obedience. I was obedient with him. He's happy. And, you know, doing what he told me to do. And so I did. I went and, you know, God turned things around. And till I left there, I was doing fine. I was everything. So, you know, you just got to obey what God says to do. You know, and it's one of those things. It just taught me a lesson. The next time something came along, I just, immediately got over on the thing. Got back to where I was. But he taught me a good lesson in the thing. And we need to understand dealing with faith. He's dealing with these disciples. Because tonight I'm going to talk about Abraham. Because Abraham, now understand, the disciples, we want to understand the fact that they weren't born again at the time. But nonetheless, they could have done better than they did because we know Abraham was long before them and he wasn't born again either. And Abraham's considered the father of our faith. In other words, he's the clearest example of the first time of how faith operates. And if you understand how Abraham operated, it'll help you immensely in your development of faith. Because Abraham's called the father of faith. So really, in the book of Genesis, we have Abraham. And Abraham is really a dynamic picture of what you do. And it's carried over the New Testament and put into the New Testament on the teaching of faith. Paul used Abraham as the example of faith and faith in how it works. So you and I can learn a lot about faith and what weak faith and what strong faith is. What makes faith weak or what makes faith strong? How do I identify? See, if you can't identify, see, it's like when the Lord dealt with me, what I was doing, I was making my faith weak because I was over amplifying the circumstance. I was watching the circumstances of what was happening around me and what was going on in my body more than I was in what the Word said. So I was making my faith weak. My faith couldn't perform. And we're going to find out with Abraham, it was the same thing. Abraham here, and I want to go over to Romans, the fourth chapter. It's very familiar scriptures. You've heard me minister on this a number of times. But we're going to read down through this because it is a wonderful, wonderful thing here because we can identify what will make a faith weak or what will make faith strong. And see, you can also then look at the disciples and why Jesus told them. You know, Jesus talked to them about worrying about food and clothing. You don't do that. God takes care of the birds. Don't worry about food or clothing. What does he do? He gets over and he tells them about this, the Pharisees and be careful, the leaven of the Pharisees. And they said, is he upset because we didn't bring bread along? Like Jesus was worrying about the bread. See, they jumped right over, and then he told them about their, oh, you have little faith. What's wrong with you guys? Why would you think I'd be worried about bread? You know, they didn't get it. They missed it completely. And so Abraham is really a wonderful example of how to walk strongly in faith. And so here we have, we're going to start at verse 13. It says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not for Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So understand, the law hadn't started yet. It wasn't by following the law. It was the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of faith is always based on promise. Romans, the fourth chapter, verse 13. And it goes on. It says, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. And realize, if you think about, you know, people talk about the promises of the Word and the promises in the New Testament. We're in a covenant of promise. And it's a covenant of righteousness. It's righteousness by faith. It's promises made. All the blessings of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All the promises. So everything that God said is yes and amen in Christ Jesus to us. And it's through faith. He says, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. He says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, think of this. He says the father of us all. He's a guy that God chose. God chose this man. And this man in his walk of faith, it's through Abraham came out of everything, the Messiah, everything came. The Gentiles get saved. You and I get saved. And it all starts on this man who believe God, and he's considered the father of us all. Well, we know he's not genetically the father of us all, but spiritually, which is much higher standard, he is the father of all of faith. He's the guy who followed, really, a person of faith. It's amazing what this man did. If we look back at other characters in the Old Testament, it isn't until Abraham do we see that God took this man and the things that he did through him to get him to walk by faith, and the obedience of this man to follow what God did, till it came to the point where God said, would I do anything in the earth without talking to my guy Abraham? And you need to understand this. God talks to people of faith. God talks to people of faith. That's who he talks to. That's why you want to develop your faith. I can always tell this. People say, well, God don't talk to me. Well, then you're not a person of faith. You might have had, I have faith, I'm saved. Yeah, you might be saved, but you're not a person of faith. You don't know how to operate in it, because God will talk to people of faith. God doesn't do anything without telling people about it. People know. Somebody knows what God's going to do in the earth. God is never silent about the future of anything. Never. He's always informing people about what's going on. God's not allowing things to go in the earth. He's not allowing the devil to do stuff without notifying people about it. God's talking to people of faith. And so as a faith people, this is why we want to develop in faith, because Abraham, his development of faith, God revealing himself to Abraham. And so he's the father of us all. He says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gave life to the dead and calls things that do not exist as though they did. So God, what does God do? God calls things that don't exist as though they do. You need to understand that principle of faith. Most people think that real honesty and being honest is calling things the way they really are. God gave the church the ability to call things that don't exist as though they do, to bring them to existence. And the church keeps walking around and calling what they have. They keep talking about what they got, and rather calling things that don't exist as though they do. This is how God, when God created the earth, he called things that didn't exist as though they did, and they showed up. That's faith. That's what faith does. Faith talks things into existence. We talk things into existence. That's what we do. It's talking. Faith comes. Faith is of no value unspoken. Faith is no value. Salvation is of no value to you unspoken. It don't matter how much Jesus died for you. If you don't confess what the Bible says, you never get saved. It is of zero value. It won't produce a thing. You can walk around all you want and believe that Jesus died for you. God raised him from the dead. If it's unspoken, it doesn't produce salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. See, you got to. That's the basis of how. And people say, "Well, that's faith." Then you step over on the other side of it. All this confession stuff. That ain't. Oh, you don't do that. I mean, they go right into it, and here they got born again doing it, and then the devil's talked them into preaching. You don't do it. You know, and so. I mean, in the beginning of it, the devil will tell you that's too simple. You couldn't get saved that way. So don't confess. And then after you do confess, then he'll tell you quit. You don't confess from here on out. You don't do that. But you do. So the God made the promise. But he made a promise to Abraham. His promise to Abraham was, I made you the father of many nations. Understand, he gave Abraham the name. His name was Abram. And God told him, now I want you to call yourself Abraham. This was before the promise is fulfilled. Your name's Abraham. Now he's going around telling people all the time, my name's Abraham. My name's Abraham. Abraham means a father of a multitude. This guy ain't got one kid. He hasn't got one child. And see, we can learn something about faith. Here's the obedience this man. You need to understand this. The Bible says you're blessed. Why do you keep trying to get blessed? How many times have I had a Christian pray for me? I'm a blessing for me. And then I'd say, well, sorry in God I didn't save you. Nothing. But you know, you tell people they're blessed. See, God, what God, the Bible calls us. The Bible calls us redeemed. It calls us saved. It calls us healed. People say, I'm sick. I'm this. They say all this stuff. They talk everything opposite of what the Bible. The Bible says you're healed. No, I mean, oh my God, my leg hurts. Come on, I'm not healed. The Bible says you're healed. We see Abraham. Now see, Abraham's not born again. God says, your name's Abraham now. It's no longer Abram. I'm going to call you. Your new name's a guy of a multitude. Now, can you imagine? He had the same kind of brains and people around him, just like everybody else, and sitting there. I know he thought, oh man, I go tell people this, and you know what they're going to think. But he did. He did. He gave himself the name. He called himself by the name. When he met people and he met this, everybody, when anybody wanted to talk to him, the people who lived in the Canaan, the other kings and stuff, called him Abraham before he ever had a child. Why? He didn't go by no other name. So in other words, he called himself. And see, we need to learn this. If you want to know how to keep to make faith and to walk by faith, you must call yourself what the Bible calls you, that the Bible says about you. There's all kind of voices. The devil will come along and tell you, well, if you were saved, you wouldn't act so nutty. And if you're dumb enough to go along, no, you call yourself what the Bible calls you. It doesn't matter the other stuff. You keep, because you call things that don't exist. If it doesn't look like you're saved, you keep calling yourself to, after a while, you can't see nothing but you saved. You can't see it any other way. I over the years, sometimes I've had people come to me at different times and say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And I tell them, I said, I can, that's so easy. They go, I don't know. And they're going through all this. How do I deal with this? And I say, it's the easiest thing in the world. I'm just listening to what you say. No wonder you don't know you're saved. You don't believe, you don't say you are. Dear God, what do you expect you to believe? It don't matter what I say. It's been by what you've been saying. If you don't change what you're talking, I said, you believe Jesus the Lord and God raised him from the dead? Oh yeah, I confessed him. Yeah. Now you confessed him, and then now, all the time afterward, I don't know if I'm saved or not. 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 I said, it's the easiest thing in the world. Why you don't know if you're saved or not. You all say it all the time. You don't know. So that's what happens. See, Abraham, he's walking around. He has a promise from God. That through him is going to come. It's going to bless the nations of the earth. He's going to have offspring like the stars of the heavens and like the sands of the seas. He's going to have all this stuff. And he's walking around. He calls himself Abraham. None of this exists. But he's walking like this is true. And this is what you have to learn to do. This is what you have to learn to do about faith. You have to act in the same manner. You do the same thing. You act like what the Bible says is true. You say what the Bible says. Call yourself what the Bible says. If the Scripture says, by His stripes you were healed, then that's, you're healed. If it said, Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, yeah, well, Jesus took my infirmity. He bore my sickness. That's what He did. Say those things. Make those your confession. That's what the Bible said. I'm healed. You know. And he said, I believe I received my healing. So the Bible says, if I pray, I'm supposed to believe I receive it. See, I believe I receive it. You're always going to have people around and going to try to say, you know, talk you out of something. But, you know, it don't matter. What's true is true. And you have to understand, I look at other people who don't understand the things of faith as if like they're a 3 or 4 year old kid. If Braden come up to me and something I know full well is true and right and told me it wasn't right, I wouldn't get upset. No big deal. People get so upset. I just like, they're just little kids and don't know. You know, I'm not going to change what I believe because it upsets them and they think they believe something else. You know, people get so upset at people. Don't get upset at people. Who cares? It don't matter. You know, it's adults dealing with kids. That's what it is. I always look at it, I'm an adult dealing with kids. That's what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with people who don't know. And the best, arguing with them over ain't going to get nothing done. And all you do is you walk around and act like it's true. Yeah, my name's Abraham anyhow. If you call me anything else, I will not hear you. So you won't have a conversation with me. You have to call Abraham. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to call me what the Bible calls. You call me something else, I don't answer. And learn to walk in the light of what you have and understand where other people are. We're not trying to fight with them or anything else about it. But it's like, don't, you know, it's lots of times, you know, you ain't going to get the, in 2 minutes to get to explain them to what you're doing anyhow. So you don't have to, you know. The Bible says, you know, that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and all these kind of things. We're saying, that's what we are. And the church amplifies, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm an old sinner. They don't say sinner. I'm an old sinner. You know, like, I'm so old in sin. I do it. I'm a champion at it. I'm like, can I ever sin? Ah! I'm great at it. Whoa, I'm a champion sinner. The church has amplified those things. They haven't amplified, you know, they're priests of God. No, we don't amplify that. I'm not a holy nation. No, that never took place. You know, we're just old sinners. And so begin to speaking of the right things about ourselves. So God that calls things that don't exist as though they did. It said, now listen, this speaks of Abraham. Look, so Abraham is acting like God. He's acting like God. The promise is told to him. God calls things that don't exist as though they do. He's acting like this is so. This is the way you operate. You know, I often wonder, how did he get the revelation that God calls things that don't exist as though they do? How did he get that revelation? But he had that revelation. He had the revelation that if you say what God says, it comes to pass. Now leave verse 18, who contrary to hope, now we need to understand, it says contrary to hope, and that says in hope believed. In contrary to hope, and what this really means is contrary to natural hope. There was no natural hope that this would come to pass. There's no natural hope. And as we find out that there wasn't natural hope. But he said in hope believed. Now we know this from the things in Hebrews. Hebrews says faith is the substance of things hoped for. You cannot be without hope. He had a hope, and that was his promise. The promise was his hope. He would have never came to hope to ever have children had not God given him a promise. So this is why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is why it's so important. I started there in the beginning. You got to come to the place, this is the truth, no matter what anybody else says or whatever else is going on. Whatever is happening, it matters not. This is true whether it makes sense to you or not. Because if you don't, you will have no hope, so you cannot come to faith. The basis of our hope, as we're talking here, is the Word of God. It's not something somebody else said. It's not something some man said. It's what God said. That is the basis of our hope. Faith is a substance. You come to faith because that hope is always looking for a future thing to take place. Hope is always looking toward the future. How do I bring? I come to the place faith does this. It believes it receives that done. It believes it receives it. So it takes what is out there to the future to come and says, I believe what there is in the future, it belongs to me. That's what faith does. It claims it and takes it. So he started out, he had a hope. He had no natural hope. Contrary to all natural hope, it says, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. How did he get it? According to what was spoken. His faith was based upon what was spoken. What God had said. His faith was based upon what God said. He said what God said, and he ended up having what God said. So now, he said, which ends in that verse 18, says, so your descendants shall be. It says, now listen, and not being weak in faith. Now, he wasn't weak in faith. In other words, you can be weak in faith. Now, Paul makes his statement here. He said he wasn't weak in faith. So we know this, you can be weak in faith. He wasn't weak in faith. And here's where people, you can understand where you and I could get weak in faith. He did not consider his own body. In other words, he didn't consider the circumstances that were required to have children. He didn't consider any natural circumstance to have children. He didn't consider, what was it? He didn't consider that. You know, it's just like when the Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, you're doing nothing but paying attention to what's going on in your body. See, I was considering the circumstances. I was considering my body. I knew that isn't how you get healed. You can't get healed considering your body. I know that's why most people have a trouble with healing, but all they do is consider their body. They're always looking at their body all the time. They're always after their body, and they're not operating on the areas of faith. Their body sets all the circumstances. And so they look at that. Well, here I was doing it. I was doing that. But here Abraham, it says, he wasn't weak in faith. He did not consider his body already dead since it was about 100 years old. Should I tell you what faith did with this man? This man didn't just produce his one child when Sarah died. He ended up producing more kids. He married another woman, had kids. He said 100 years old, his body was considered dead. His body's considered dead. He didn't consider that. And see, this is one thing as you go. Because when we move over to areas of faith, most of the time we're trying to believe God for something that is naturally not possible. There's not a natural solution. There's no natural solution. So, if you'll never learn how to operate in faith till you come to the place where you stop and say, hey, I can't consider the natural circumstances because this is beyond natural circumstances. You get a person goes to the doctor and the doctor says, you know, we have no hope for you. Now, you know, there's nothing else we can do for you. Well, if that person wants to go over the area of faith, they need to go to a place where circumstances, you can't, there's natural circumstances to fix the problem. Abraham, God had made a promise to him that cannot naturally be fixed. There was no natural way to fix it. But for him to receive the promise of God, he had to believe past circumstances. He had to go beyond the circumstance. He had to say, you know, I'm not looking at my body. It doesn't matter that my body's too old for this. I'm 100 years old. It doesn't matter. His faith carried him on. He produced other kids. Dear Lord, it worked. is getting over in that. One of the things that Kenneth E. Hagin had made mention about people getting to be great old ages, here in the end times. One of the things that is that people understand this stuff is understand faith. Faith will bring longevity to life. It can, for a person, you decide how far you want to go, but a person can go, just like with Abraham. His faith carried him on until after Sarah died, he remarried this guy whose body's already dead and kept producing kids. He kept producing children. So, I mean, the effect of faith didn't stop. So Abraham got on the thing of like, oh, I'll use my faith and produce more kids. Once he figured this thing out, how it worked, this thing works. I want to do it again. And he did it again and again and again. See, this is why you have to understand how it works. It works and works and works. That's why it's like people, I see people doing stuff, they act like they have to start over again. I see people like get sick and they'll believe God for healing and sickness comes again. It's always like them starting all over again, trying to get healed. It's the same thing as it was before. You shouldn't be having to go trying to work in anything. It's the same old thing. If it worked the time before doing it, you just do the same thing you did before and believe in God. But I see people all the time. It's always a big word going back over through it again. It's like, I don't understand where they go to. Abraham, what's this thing work? He kept on doing it. He just kept after it. And but Abraham, he believed God. He didn't, he said he wasn't weak in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he didn't consider, he didn't look and say, old mama over here can't have kids. Is today you get the things that people are doing this junk all the time out here. And I said, whatever a doctor says is God. And you're too old to have children. You're too old to produce and doing this and doing that. And people just get over in this. This guy here sitting around and saying, it don't matter how old she is. God made a promise. God made a promise. And so that promise stuck in him more than he did not consider. It doesn't matter. He didn't seem that Abraham didn't go for other opinions. Once you've heard from God, the only thing that's going to lead you into big trouble is when you go to the second opinion about whether or not. Once you've heard from God, if I've heard from God, it's not a discussion with anybody else after that. Once I know God has said something to me, there's not a discussion anymore because that only leads you to one thing, unbelief. That's what it'll lead you to. Once I would find what the Scripture says, I'd get pretty darn bullheaded. And we should. People don't get bullheaded. They get over there, well, you know, somebody said that, I don't give a rip what they said. I got a revelation on something that's like, we going that away. We're going to tear the ground up here, bud. We're going to do this. You got to do that. You can't. If you start to get into reasoning. You know, go ask one of your good friends who is weak in faith. Yeah, he'll help you big. You stay over in the areas of faith. Once you've heard and you know, then you start doing that. I'll tell you, and I'm serious, it'll work. Abraham didn't consider. It says in verse 20, he didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief. You can tell this. Unbelief brings wavering. If you're dealing with wavering, then you're dealing with unbelief. Now, I'm not talking about mentally. I'm talking about out of your heart. If your heart is having trouble standing, then you're not settled on the promise yet. It's about out of your heart. You can turn around, you know, there's things that can happen that want to take, because I'm sure Abraham woke up in the morning and, you know, he looked over at Sarah and, my God, can you imagine? Now think about this, man. I mean, for them to produce a child, they have to be having sex. You know, and I'm sure it was not a, woo, is she ever cute? Woo! And she's looking at Abraham, man. This boy, yeah, he could use some help. This. And there wasn't no pills either, folks, to get anything going. You know, this is it. We're here. We're having fun tonight, hon. She said, yeah, I bet we are. It's just gonna be good. But they did. They kept acting like they were going to have children. See, this is what people. I've watched people ready. They, you know, saying, oh, they want to have children, can't have children. They always act like they can't have children. And they're saying, we're praying and believing God. Don't waste your time. You're wasting your time. If you're not going to start living like you're going to have children and start talking like you're going to have children, you ain't going to bring it to pass through faith and with God. It ain't going to work that way. You're going to have to just go with medical science, take some drugs or fertility things and have 10 kids at once. You know, do something crazy like that. And people need to understand is getting over here in the areas of faith. This stuff works. It does. It works. People get in line with what the promise of God is. You know, it's one of the things about having children and offspring. That's one of the promises of God to have those. God wants people. There's nobody is barren by God. and that is producing offspring. But he didn't waver at the promise through unbelief. But was strengthened in faith. Here's what he did. Giving glory to God. Here's what you have to do. Once you have believed the promise, you need to continually be giving glory to God, that God's bringing to pass what He said. You need to continually do that. This is where most people fail. I learned from Kenneth Hagin, you know, it's one thing even when praying. When I first prayed it's one thing, if I pray and ask God for something, you know, in 2 minutes I'm done with that. But I may spend 20, 30 minutes thanking, praising God that He's carrying it out. I think about certain things, and I'll just like during the day, I'll just think about something that I'm standing for with God about, and I'll think about it, and I'll just stop and say, praise God, thank you for doing that for me. I'm just so glad you're carrying that out for me. Most people, though, they go back to praying again. They go right back over to wavering and unbelief. No, from then, that once you believe God, then it's nothing but praising God, it's done. That's all you ever do is praise God, it's done. You're praising God, it's done. This is how you give glory to God. You get over there and just keep giving glory to God. That's the way you strengthen your faith. You continually go over. It said, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, he's giving glory to God because he believes God can do this. This is where people keep going back to the beginning stuff again and wonder why they end up in unbelief, they end up with weak faith, because they keep going back like it's not done. They're still, you know, people act like it's really a spiritual thing to say, and you've heard me say this many times, but I have people all the time come up to this. Well, I'm praying and believing. And I think, what are you praying about? If you were believing, the praying's ended. What on earth are you praying about? Now it's time to shout and praise God, giving glory to God. He's able to do it. Glory to God. And that's, but what they do, they kill their own faith by going back and acting like they're trying to twist God's arm to do it for them. He ain't decided he wanted to do it yet. Abraham, really, this is lays out a wonderful key to follow this pattern that Abraham has done here is really the pattern of faith. It's the pattern to follow. It's what you continue to do. So it said, therefore, it was considered to him to be righteousness. That's what it says. That's what righteousness was. What he did, righteousness is this, doing what's right. He did what was right. If you look at it, in what Abraham was believing God, he was saying what God said, he was doing what God said, and he was glorifying God. Really, that's the steps of faith. You see, he was over there, he believed what God said. Then he said what God said. God told him, call yourself Abraham. This guy walks around, he's following out the steps. He's acting it out. He's going and having sex with his wife, believing they're going to produce a kid. So I see people all the time say, well, you know, I'm saying, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, you'll never do it. Get up and start to try. I start going in the direction of doing it. Dear Lord, you believe you can't do it, you'll never do it. You head in that direction. In other words, you got to start to do is the acting on the word and start glorifying God. Praise God, this thing's a working. We're having a baby. Glory to God. I bet all the rest of the servants were laughing and carrying on till one day Sarah showed up pregnant. It's like, oh my God. Oh, she probably got a tumor. I'll bet you she. I know that baby will be crazy. I'd be out of its mind because it was born. That kid, she's so old, no telling what happened, going through all this nonsense. And it's a wonderful pattern that's laid out to hear us in the areas of faith. Number one, I'm born again. Abraham is not going to outdo me. I'm born again. He wasn't. I have the same nature of God. I'm born of the nature of God. That's the nature of faith. He wasn't. I'm not going to let Abraham outdo me. I'm going to let him outdo faith. And this is why we have to, you know, when I read the Bible, when I look at these people and the things that they did, if they can do them, I can do them. And so you got to get over it. You got to begin to think that way. This isn't wonderful stories about somebody else hooking up with God. You and I can hook up with God. We can walk with God. So strong faith praises God. Every time a circumstance arises, it looks different. It looks like opposite of what the Word says. You start praising God. That's not the time to start praying. That's what most people do. Immediately go to unbelief and start praying. See, we have this idea in the church that every time you go pray, that's a spiritual thing to do. Many people commit sin in their prayer because when they go to prayer, it's all over unbelief. It's not over faith. I don't need to go praying again. A good old shout would do some good. See, you know what? When I went through that thing, I was doing no shouting. And I realized, I wasn't acting like this was true. I'm here paying attention to what's going on. And so I wasn't shouting. Well, then I had to get shouting. And so what I did was on the way home, that after I was coming back, I shouted the whole way home. I praised God, had a great time on the way home. I tell you, got more done in that 8 hours of driving home than I had the whole time down there in that unbelief, wallowing around trying to get something to work. So, you know, is get over there and do that. You know, this stuff works. It's like, you know, with me, I always, how many times I've gone back to Romans, the 4th chapter, and read over Abraham. You know, you're going to make a stand, go over there and read what he did and say, well, this is what we're doing. Here it is. I'm going to call myself what God called me. I'm going to act like it's true. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe it, call myself that way, and then I'm praising God. Hallelujah. Because God's able to do it. And so you get over there and learn to just go back and practice those things. Hallelujah. You know, it's dealing the areas of faith. One of the things the Bible talks about being rich in faith, James wrote in James, the 2nd chapter. And I want you to see this. We'll read about a statement then that David made too. But in James, the 2nd chapter, in verse 5, it says this, listen, my beloved brother, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? Rich in faith. He said, in heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. And see, you know, this the church world takes this, oh, to be poor, is that you're really rich because you're poor. That's not what this is talking about. God, the Word of God goes, does the Word of God produce, well, the Word of God, is, does the Word of God produce poverty? It won't produce poverty. He said, God's called the rich of this world, the poor of this world, to be rich in faith. And there's one thing about it. If somebody really gets over to the other things of understanding faith, they ain't going to stay poor. You know, the poor, this is what happens. The poor are always worrying about what they're going to eat. The poor are always worrying about their clothing. The poor are always over there doing it. That's all they do. They're always over there doing that. So, has God, is that rich faith? It's not no rich faith. No, it's not. God wants the poor to become rich in faith. You know, in Psalms 113, in verse 7, says this, He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of their ash heap. See, that's what God does. God sends His Word to deliver people. He sends His Word to save people. See, the poor, what the poor need in America, the poor need the true gospel of faith preached to them so they can become rich in faith, not handouts from somebody all the time. They need to be preached how to have faith. Because the whole thing, one of the biggest things we deal with, poverty in America, is faithless people. They have no faith. They get so faithless, they don't even want to go to work anymore. They don't want to do nothing. And they do, here's, God blesses the labor of your hand. And so what do? They sit and do nothing, but they're trying to get blessed by God. God can't bless them. He can't do it. And see, we need to know is the labor of our hands out here working. David, I mean, I always thought about this, and David wrote in this 37th Psalm, verse 25. He made this statement. He said, I was young, and now I'm old. So this is, he's done this after a lifetime of observation. Like Brother Hagin used to always tell us, he said, some guy lived on the earth 80-some years. He said, pay attention to what he said. He lived long enough in this earth to know a few things. And so we can say, David, he learned something here, in other words, through his observation of life. And what he found out, he said, now I'm old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Righteous people, their kids are never going to end up in poverty. We have all this poverty through generations because of unrighteous people. Well, see, I know some of them are saved and go to church. It doesn't matter. You live unrighteous life. You don't live by faith. That's an unrighteous life. Righteousness is by faith. Righteousness isn't by nice person. See, we have all this. We have Christianity so messed up in the church world today of what we think. David said, I have never seen a righteous person's seed even beg for bread. Their kids never end up in poverty. They never end up that way. I have watched this and observed this myself over the years. People who teach their children properly about faith, their kids produce off after them. They don't produce off something else. They produce off after them. See, that's why you want to live. You teach your children, you go on down the line. Why? Because of what it produces. See, if you follow the Bible talks about the ungodly. It goes on to seven generations. You know what? The number of seven is the number of completion. That means they could become completely evil. That's what happened during the flood. They finally got to the pass of complete evilness. They got so good at producing evil, they just produced it, and it got worse every time. It just got worse. Well, godliness will produce. And so what you want to do is produce that. And here, David tells us, he said, the righteous, even their seed don't beg bread. Why? This faith passes on down through. You know, I know from my father and mother concerning faith, there's a lot of things, even my brothers and sisters, it's like with myself. My dad, I asked the Lord after I got saved why I didn't die. I said, man, I had wonderful opportunity. I did some of those crazy things. I've did some of the most wild things, driving cars and doing stuff, most wild things you've ever seen in your life. I'll tell you what, they weren't doing nothing in their jumps and stuff at these places you go to, people pay to watch. I was doing it on the highway and doing crazy stuff. Drugs, drinking, and kind of stuff. You know, I was in Vietnam and stuff. Nothing. People get died and killed, and I come home. And, you know, I get born again, and I went to God. I said, God, I don't understand. Why didn't I die? I said, people that didn't do near what I did died. They didn't do near as bad of stuff as I did. And the Lord spoke just as clear. The Lord said to me, I spared you because of your father. He said, he walked right before me. See, I was blessed. The next generation was blessed because of him. I spared you because of him. Said he walked right before me. And that's when I got the revelation of Noah. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, you go back over and read about Noah. He said the scriptures never said that Noah and his family, Noah's family was righteous. He said the Bible says Noah was righteous. He said I spared them because of him. I went over and read the Bible. It never, see, everybody acts like Noah's family and kids were all righteous and all did good and everything. And we have no account that they did. He may have had a hard time with his family over the bit with the ark and all that kind of stuff. We always listen to preaching that preaches what men believe about it. Well, God told me different on the subject. And I realized, when I understood that, and that's because the Lord dealt with me about the fact of my children, as my wife and my children would be blessed if I would obey God. He told me, you do what I tell you to do, and he said, I'll bless your family. You do what I tell you. And the church got that all twisted around. They put things in the family first before God, and they got all kinds of stuff, and they call it God, but it isn't God. It's you follow God, because the blessing, the righteous, the blessing carries on down to this next generation. So you always want to walk right. I don't care what anybody, I don't care what Wanda and the kids do. I'm going to follow God so they're blessed, whether they like it or not. Well, they will like it, is number one. It spares life. It spared my life. I was alive because of the righteousness of my father. I wasn't spared. I wasn't, you know, alive because I did things and I should have probably been dead. But I lived, you know, overdosed on drugs twice and did all kind of crazy stuff. I lived. And so people need to get, understand some of these things, the principles of the Word of God. This is about the life of faith. The life of faith is powerful. The reason it don't work today much is because most of the Christianity has left faith. So what happens? The next generation ends up in terrible shape because the one before them has not walked right, and it produces the next generation will end up worse. So that's why you want to walk right, because you want an offspring of the next generation. I believe what David says true. He made an observation. I've never seen. He said, just think, I've never seen this. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their seed begging bread. I've never seen that happen. In all the years, he said, I've been on this earth, I've never seen it happen. Well, David understood who was really righteous and who wasn't. See, David understood who people of faith were and who people weren't of faith. Today, anybody of anything that calls himself a Christian, they call a person of faith. Loads of them ain't people of faith. They don't even believe in Jesus. That's all in their minds, and that's as far as it's gone. But the righteous are never forsaken. Never. Never, 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 never. Somebody tells me, but I know a guy, he, this, that. I don't care what you say. I believe the Bible. I don't believe you. I don't care what happened to that person. The Bible's true. God is true, and every man's a liar. I'll tell you what, you will never have hope if you always look over there with what happened to somebody else and try to justify what happened to them. I don't care what happened to them. The Bible's true, because the only hope you have, that's true. Because if what you saw is true, you have no hope. Don't steal and rob your own hope. You maintain your own hope. The Word, really, the Word of God, it's the anchor of your soul. It's the anchor of your... And you throw the anchor over, you throw the anchor out, you're adrift. And you don't throw it out. You just keep walking right and walking right. And that was one of the things that the Lord, when the Lord dealt with me, and I just want to reiterate that again, because it's good here in this teaching, is when the Lord spoke to me about the 128th Psalm. In fact, I'm going to go over and read the 128th Psalm. Because this Psalm came to me supernaturally, not naturally. I can truthfully say this, at the time that the Lord spoke to me to go look at the 128th Psalm, I can truthfully say this, I didn't even know that there was that many Psalms. I was just a young Christian. The Lord said, go read the 128th Psalm. And I'll never forget, the reason it happened was because a young man had died, his late teens, he had died in a Christian family, and the young man died and he wasn't saved. And I just thought, man, I mean, to me, I just thought about that family. That has to be crushing. Your parents live in this earth. You're born again. Your child, you're never going to see him again. When you go to heaven, your child's not going to be there. And I mean, to me, that was crushing. And I'll never forget this. We lived in Canal Street, and I was up in Lebanon, and I was up in the bedroom. I was up there. I was just a young Christian. I was only born again maybe a few months, not really a long time. And that happened, and I remember in the bedroom, and I was talking to the Lord, and I just said, Lord, in fact, at that time, Wanda wasn't even born again yet. So when did you get born again then? March. So I got born January. This is March. She wasn't even born again yet. I said, Lord, I don't know if I'd want to go to heaven and my family wouldn't go. I said, no. And I was really sincere. Because I was thinking about, man, you don't go to heaven and your family's lost in hell. I was like, oh, my God. It really just grabbed me because I thought, man, what are these parents and their child? I mean, what a thing to go to bed at night. And you go to bed and you close your eyes and you see your child in hell. It's like, that would be no fun. But anyway, I was talking to the Lord about it. And a voice spoke as clear, I would have thought somebody was standing in the room and said, go read the 128th Psalm. And my Bible was laying over on the nightstand, and I walked over and picked my Bible up, and I'm thinking, 128 Psalms. Well, I wonder if there's that. I remember thinking, is there that many of those? And I went over and I went turn, and it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in your very heart of your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall be the man be blessed who fears the Lord. And I'm just going to stop there at that part of it, because this is the part that the Lord dealt with me on. Because when I read that part there, then the Spirit of the Lord, that same voice that said to me to go look at that, he said, if you do what I tell you to do, he said, I'll take care of your family. And man, I saw that. And so my quest as a Christian after that time was to find out what God wanted me to do and to follow what God said to do. And to do what God wanted rather than trying to, you know, I watch people and they go along and man, all they do is always after about their family, trying to get their family fixed, I can truthfully say, I never did that. From that time on, I never did that. I would go to the Lord with this scripture. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I didn't go always deal with things that I thought ought to have been dealt with. I didn't always deal with it. I'd stop and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll do what you tell me to do. And most of the time he'd tell me, you keep your nose out of it. You don't say a thing and don't do nothing. You just let it alone. And I'll tell you, I watched him turn things around and change things around. When Lissy went off to college, he started getting out there. This is how we got it straightened out. I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, you told me that if I would do what you told me to do, that you'd take care of the things of my family. You said that. I said, Lord, I expect this thing from Alyssa to be straightened out quickly. I said, I ain't waiting no 10 years on this baby. I said, we ain't going along with that kind of stuff. I said, this is what you told me. I fear you. I said, Lord, if I've missed it and I haven't been doing what you told me to do, you let me know. I'll repent and go do what you tell me to do. But if I've been doing what you said, you're going to carry out your word. It wasn't no more in a few weeks. It was straightened out. But see, God will always honor His Word. God will always honor His Word. And see, that's where you got to come to. As most people are always trying to fix everything and take care of all this stuff, you got to come to the place, God, what do I do? I walk where God tells me to. That the best thing I can ever do for my family is to serve God. Whether they like